You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Ay, papi! Let's go!
Let's go! Okay. Did I, papi, wake up a puppy?
Let's see. Was it too disruptive? Okay, he's a little concerned. Yeah.
He's like, hey, fam, why don't you shut the fuck up? And there he goes, right back to
there bed. There is Nutmeg. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
That's me when my wife is going to work. I'm like, yo, you gotta open all the doors.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prem Show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. And this is the Prem Show. This is our spinoff podcast focused on all things Premier League, where we tape it live on Twitch with everyone in the Twitch chat.
Everyone in the Twitch.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we need we need a name for the Twitch chat specifically, you know, that the contributions to this program are really priceless. You know what I mean?
That's actually a great point.
Yeah.
We don't have a name for the chat, and that's perfect timing because my wife just rang the doorbell. I'll be right back.
Okay, Alexis will be back. So while Alexis is trying to open the door, put any suggestions in the Twitch chat for what you think the Cooligans Twitch chat should be called. The Gully Chat, that's an option. Feel free to give anything. We're open to anything because it'd be awesome to have a specific name to refer to everyone in here. The Chattigans. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. Top of my voice. Great suggestion. Igor Mortis said, time to talk shit about Alexis. Hey, I think now is a good time. When he gets back is a good time. Anytime is a good time to talk shit about Alexis. Feel free. Okay. The Gulter but it sounds like the gutter. Okay. I see it.
All right, I'm back.
I already liked one suggestion for the chat, Alexis. The Chattigans.
You know me, I fucks with wordplay.
Okay. So thank you for the suggestion. Feel free to keep throwing them in the chat as we go through. So people listening to the podcast, just so you know, like I said, this show is taped live on Twitch. If you want to be a part of the program and contribute to the show, make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/soccercooligans. Follow, subscribe. You will have access to Nutmeg Cam during the broadcast. Nothing better. Okay,
I mean, that's what you're looking for, right?
Nick's
there.
Third nipple with the subscription. Look out, wait, David from Tampa just
five tier,
unbelievable. No, just
five tier one subs
gifted all the David from Tampa. Look at this. Oh my, amazing. We're gonna have to go to Nutmeg Cam for quite a moment. Appreciate sharing all the love. Very, very much. Thank you, David from Tampa. Everybody, thank David from Tampa.
David from Tampa, you get an applause. Look, even Nutmeg got up a little bit.
Where was David at?
Yo, not bad for a dude from Tampa.
All right, everybody. So,
Nixer Nipples' suggestion for the chat is the Jack Harrison Baby Bird Club, that is very specific.
I like that one, too.
Someone asked if you could make me a touch louder. Can you make me a little bit louder there,
Christian? I could do that.
There you go.
Jayworth 24. Chad gifted. Oh my goodness. Look at this. We're having Nutmeg is like losing his mind. He's like, I'm literally I've collapsed because of all these gifted subs. So thank you for supporting.
You guys are amazing, dude.
All right.
Just a reminder, we're trying to get to 500 followers. So tell your friends to do that. You don't even got to spend money on that.
Okay, that's much easier, but all the love is appreciated. Yes, can we, Shelly Ray saying, can we discuss Lugay? Of course, we shall. That will probably be the first subject.
It's near and dear to my heart and other parts of my body. We got to talk about it.
And hey, Ben Borgano, thank you for the follow. Just a reminder. Okay, we have a rundown of things that we want to discuss that we've prepared. But if anyone has any suggestions on things you want us to talk about, put that in the chat as well. Okay, hello, Ben Borgano. Thank you. Borgano.
Okay. Borgiano. That's I'm going to call you that from now on.
Okay. All right. So Shelley Ray did mention Lugay. A couple other people brought it up. We have to discuss this this moment, obviously.
I understand how Eric Dyer feels. Okay.
Okay. And this it's a little interesting because whenever people say I'm not an Arsenal fan, I'm not a Tottenham fan, but what I do know that when people Arsenal fans have a system when you say, what do you think of Arsenal? What do you think of Tottenham?
Shit.
Yeah. And then this is what this kind of reminded me.
What do you
of.
Think of shit? Tottenham, you know? And then
respect,
if you talk to
course.
A Tottenham player, you say, what do you got to do? And Eric Dyer's going to say shit. You know what I mean?
Because okay. That's not even an insult. Thank you.
You know, here's
just Ali Coop. Thank you for the sub. There is Nutmeg again. Nutmeg Cam is alive and well, doing great. Having a good old nap. Okay. So
when for everyone listening, they're like, what the hell is happening? It's pure pandemonium. We're going to get to the goddamn shit talk. I promise. All right. Listen,
we know why you came here.
Here's the funny thing, right? Like, we're both stand-up comedians. One of the benefits of being a stand-up comedian is when you're on stage, right? The moment you go on stage, your adrenaline is at a certain point where you no longer have to poo. If you had to poo before you got on stage, I'm not saying that all comedians are constantly having to take a shit, right? Like, if you have to take a poo, it's gone. It goes away the moment you get on stage.
Yeah, there's something, the adrenaline kind of
your adrenaline, your
everything.
Body's like, we can hold on to it for a little longer.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go full-blown diarrhea. Like, there was a during my weight loss period, I ate something, like my first, like the beginning
what was
of my
weight loss period.
Period?
Was it like the...
Over the last 2 years at this point.
During the Jurassic era?
Yeah.
When was
if
this?
If you go back to your textbooks, children, and remember, 6 feet away from each other, and do not even spit at your plexiglass in each direction. If you go back to the beginning of my weight loss period, I was... about to get on stage. I was hosting a New York comedy club, and this was happening in the beginning. My stomach was like, and I was like, oh no. Right? But the guy on the mic
that,
was like,
that noise sounds like the beginning of a Capcom game, you know, the Capcom.
I don't remember that. It sounded like a fish tank in my head. It was like,
deep
you know,
cut,
like a
nerdy deep cut, everybody. That's not for everybody on here. Okay.
If you're listening and watching, it's about time you realize a superstar is amongst our presence.
Shout out to my virgins.
Because Christian worked at GameStop, everybody. So autographs will be announced later. So I heard in my stomach and I was like, oh no, like this is about to go down. But the guy on mic is like, keep your cell phones on silent or shut them off. Now let me introduce your host for the evening. I was like, well, that's not enough time to poop. Yeah. He's like, coming to the stage, you know, from BoJack Horseman, Alexis Guerrero. And I'm walking to the stage. And I'm walking to the stage with everything except my knees touching. You know, like everything from my knees up touching. And I am like I am about to just shit my pants. Like actually shit my pants right on stage.
Good bit.
You know what? You got to hold it for the closer, though. You know, that can't be your opener. The rest of your act is going to stink, if you get what I'm saying. So I grab the microphone, do 20 minutes, bring up the next comic, and I go upstage. I don't have to go anymore. Like, I forgot I had to go.
Mm.
And now I no longer have to go, because even in that moment of your body being like, here it comes. Nope. Comedy? All right, we'll wait. We'll wait till later.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to go. What the hell did Eric Dyer eat that in the middle of a game he was like, y'all do you. I need to go talk to someone about a horse.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing because as far as I know, most players have the same kind of routine when before a match. Like I remember watching an interview with, I believe it might have been Lindsey Horan. And she was like saying, like, all I eat is like, blueberries, some a banana. Like it's simple. It's something to not upset your stomach. So
yeah, you just don't want to have an empty stomach, and you also don't. But you don't want to sit there like NFL like offensive linemen will be like, I don't like to eat too much. I have 15 wings, and then I eat a plate of pasta.
Eric Dyer apparently went to Nando's before the game. Okay,
dude, I think he ate at a Bando, to be completely honest with you, because his stomach. Carlo Blanco makes a good point. This is 75 minutes of the game. Fam, you can't wait 15 more minutes?
Smoke 530, thank you for the follow. Appreciate it. We're 8 away from 500. Thank you.
I've seen people like have to use the bathroom during a sports match, but I don't think I've ever seen that happen during a Premier League team. Do you
like was this the Premier League or Carabao?
This is Carabao. This was okay. Carabao Cup, but I've never seen this happen to a Premier League team before. Was he nervous in the 75th minute? What the hell?
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing I can remember. I mean, I know I've seen it definitely in NFL. I've also heard stories of NFL player. I mean, there's so much gear that you can't like take anything off without really it taking too long. And I've heard like offensive linemen say, I just shit my pants. I just play the, I mean, the game is, it's a pretty messy game. Everybody's pretty smelly by the end. No one's really going to know who doesn't smell. If you don't smell like shit after an NFL game, you probably didn't get any minutes, you know?
Yeah. You ain't trying hard enough. Practice squad smelling all good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand what could possibly, by the way, I don't even know what this means, but we just got a new emote. I don't know what that means, so I just hit enter.
Oh, that was the hype train. Yeah.
So if you look at it, some people are saying Sergio Ramos did that last year during Eibar La Liga, but I thought he had a pee. I don't think he had a poo. The best part about this and the worst part about this, if you're Eric Dyer, is that Mourinho followed him in.
That's the interesting part, okay?
That's not the interesting part. That's the other interesting. Interesting you had to stop to go shit your pants during a soccer game.
Yeah.
Now your coach is following you.
He manages on the pitch, off the pitch, on the toilet, okay?
He's like, buddy, you're shitting the wrong way. Let's go over formations, right? You got to have elbows on your knees. We're going to get squatty potties in here.
Okay. All right. We're going to make you a world-class shitter, all right?
Okay. I mean, and you know, they asked Mourinho why you followed him in, because the video of him following him into the bathroom.
He was like, don't kink shape me.
You know? Damn, bro. Is this what you're into in 2020? We all get off our own ways, okay?
Pretty amazing, man.
They asked him why he followed him in. He said, I wanted to put pressure on him. How much more pressure does he need to be on or
okay.
under?
His sphincter's under enough pressure, all right? You don't need any more.
Buddy's got six sphincters. We all have six sphincters in our body, and seven of them somehow are under pressure.
Nickster Nipple with this is a great contribution. He said, Christian Alexis, do you remember the lower league keeper, I think Millwall keeper, took a piss in the middle of a game, like didn't leave the pitch, just pissed into a bottle?
You got to respect. The guy's clearly a truck driver on the weekends or an Uber driver.
Yeah. We've heard of, I know Millwall is known to be like, their fans tend to be rowdy. I remember there was
rough and tumble.
There was a Millwall Everton match where somebody
got sliced.
Sliced
in the face.
Yeah.
Dude, and they really bad. He got sliced like the whole cheek, and some plastic surgeon offered to fix his face for free.
Okay.
But yeah, then they saw what he looked like before, and they were like, oh, don't worry about it. Sorry. I don't even know that guy. Aussie AB says, man, wish we had the Amazon series this season. I've said this before. It only continues to get better. This was the year to have the, above all else, what is it? Again, we'll rise.
For Tottenham?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Amazon show.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I gotta watch that, and I gotta watch
Get All or Nothing. That's it. Some cheesy. It sounds like a movie where Julia Stiles and a black guy learn to dance. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, that movie already exists, so I don't know what you're saying. Why
it sounds like one of those
last
movies.
The Dance was called All or Nothing. Would the movie be different in some way?
Really not. If you think about it, it fits.
I mean, All or Nothing is really every single movie, right? It's just that's what every movie is about.
I mean, I was about to say, what about Gravity? And like, no, that's actually true. All or Nothing could literally be the title of every single movie.
So Tottenham won that game. I'm not looking at the results for the. Did they win the game? Just to confirm, I don't.
They did. Yeah, in fact, they said man of the match was the toilet. I forgot who put that tweet out. Someone said that in the chat as well. Goro Blanco, but somebody took a picture of the actual toilet with the man of the match award on it, which was hilarious. Okay,
yeah,
that's right. They won on pens.
All right. Okay. They play Chelsea, right?
Yes. By the way, I don't know why, but they keep making fun of Frank Lampard for being fat. Now, I know this goes back long in his career.
Fat right? Frank, right?
Yeah, and he eats what he wants. He eats what he wants. It was like a chant against him. The dude's not fat now, though. Like, you know, like there was a
not
really
close,
fun.
Yeah.
There was a really funny tweet where someone said, like, we use the Fat Yourself app on these managers, and it was like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it was like Mikel Arteta, and it was somebody else, and it was just a regular picture of Frank Lampard. Like, it's really disrespectful.
It's becoming bad. Also, in this match, Lampard got into a bit of a argument with Mourinho.
Dude, this is like the fourth argument he's had since he became
manager. Talked about this like six weeks ago.
Yeah, he gave shit to Jurgen Klopp.
They got into another thing. So, you know,
how long was Frank Lampard in the Bronx, though?
Is he known? He seemed like a pretty chill dude. I don't know. As a player, he never really got into many things. As a player,
I mean, I wouldn't say he was chill, but he wasn't like a hothead.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems strange that it happens so often. Given like. I mean, it's a weird year, but the fact that you would think that, like, without the pressure of the you know, the crowd, like, that to sort of egg people on to argue and stuff like that, I don't know what his deal is, but, you know, best of luck to him. I mean, he has a – we should get into what Chelsea – as a matter of fact, let's just go there. Let's talk about Chelsea a little bit and what they look like. They took a – pretty
bad
loss.
I thought you were going to switch the screen to just a picture of a garbage can.
I wish I had that prepared. Chelsea are currently they're in ninth place. Their last match, they lost pretty bad. Who they seem to run a form. They lost 5-3 to
Liverpool.
To Liverpool.
Yeah.
And obviously Timo Werner. Hakim Ziyech, the Kai Havertz.
I lost 4 points in my fantasy because I had to get rid of Timo Werner. I had to do it.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he scored his first goal, but that was in the Carabao, I believe.
It's not helping me.
Yeah, not at all. Unless you do Carabao fantasy.
Fantasy. so popular, Carabao Cup fantasy.
What is Carabao? Carabao is an energy drink, right?
It's a sugarless energy drink, which I've not had.
My fave. A Hammered Hamster. Hey, finally got to catch you guys on here again. Yes, welcome back, A Hammered Hamster.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you in a while. Okay. But Chelsea, I would say... The introduction of the new players has been and I think the lack of Pulisic is the kind of the bigger concern. Why, you know, it's going to take some time for everybody to sort of gel, but the issues still seem to be defensive. But they're also not. I thought these dudes were going to light it up. You know, that's what I expected. But Zayas is still injured. He hasn't played yet. Pulisic. So when they get the full roster in there, I think there's going to be improvement. But, you know, not as good as we sort of I think Chelsea fans expected.
I mean, look, if you look at the way Chelsea is constructed, they have – Pulisic out, Hakim Ziyech is out, Timo Werner hasn't really gotten going, yet they still have enough talent that how badly they're playing gets blamed on Frank Lampard. And everyone's saying, like, all right, his goal is to rebuild the club, to get some of the youth players going. He did an incredible job last year when he had no players outside of what was already purchased for him and his youth players. So they're saying, oh, it must be that tactics. He doesn't have the tactics down right. You got to give the guy a chance. You got to give the guy a chance. And I get that you want to blame him for the start. But when it comes to like someone like Pep Guardiola, who's not having the best start, that I can understand you blaming him because, like, yo, there's enough of an example here to suggest you're not doing what you used to do. Yo, Frank, homie, he did amazing for you last year when you gave him nothing besides Pulisic. And now Pulisic is injured and the club seems to be falling apart. So as far as I'm concerned, you give the guy a chance and you'd be nowhere if it wasn't for the American.
I agree. Yeah. I want to see, you know, over the years, I've always been like, not a fan of Chelsea. Like, it's easy to hate Chelsea, you know, given, you know,
the fans
Mourinho
racism,
was
pushing
coaching
the guy off the bus, off the train. Yeah, they've done enough.
Yeah. So, but the, you know, Pulisic there, you want to see them do a little bit better. Robert from LA
said Chelsea had no preseason. Everyone is out of form except Everton. Chomp, chomp. It's kind of true. Everton is, I don't think Everton is as good as they're showing that they are right now. I think they're sneaking up on clubs that are kind of still piecing themselves together. Everton was just barely a club last year, and they're just happy they have pieces this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the game today in Carabao Cup. Dominic Calvert-Lewin with a hat trick. Richarlison with a goal. They just, it's weird because I'm not used to them playing well,
know how to handle this,
or just not just even playing well. They're not just winning games out of like grit and, you know, strong effort. They're like bossing. They show crazy class. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's goal. Let me see if I can pull it up. The first goal he scored today in the Carabao Cup was unreal.
Aren't we going to get a strike for this thing?
No. We get a strike for music, but you can show goal. You can show video.
By the way, here's Dominic Calvert-Lewin, 23 years of age, 4 games, 8 goals, 2 hat tricks.
Bro, what is this?
And fam. Now,
even on the broadcast, they were like, yo, this is Gareth Southgate has to call this kid in. I mean, it would be crazy not to.
If for any other reason, then he's the hot hand right now. You gotta ride the hot hand.
Look at this goal. This was from a clip from ESPN FC. Look at this pass. This pass from Keane. And
dude, he's just. This is what happens when you have the ultimate amount of confidence.
Look at this first touch. Unreal.
And that's off a bounce.
I didn't know this dude could do that.
Look at this. Look at the touch. It bounces and then he hits it.
Ah. Class, bro. An Evertonian.
Okay.
Okay.
Ancelotti was like, yo, hang up the phone. We ain't got to sell this kid. I don't know what's going on.
All right. We don't need no Argentinian, some South American.
Has he been eating Buñuelos with James? What's happening?
The ball came from Michael Keane. This is crazy. Englishmen just passing the ball each other, showing all this class. All this South American swag is kind of dripping on these
dudes.
It's the
J Balvin. They're playing in the locker room. I'm telling you, that change is a club.
It makes a difference, okay?
Right? All right. A little bit of like that salsa merengue soul. That
this
reggaeton.
Is what we need to focus on Hispanic Heritage Month. Okay?
Okay, this is why we need Christian and I need to be reggaeton DJs at Premier League club locker rooms.
Well, I don't even understand why the position is not available, okay?
What do you mean you didn't budget this in? What, you just want to spend money on players, dog? Don't you want them to play well?
No, you don't even know the future of this game, okay?
My God. I bet you if you said you, to any still, of these...
You still living in 2000 and late, okay? Like the legendary Fergie told us.
I bet you if I walk up to one of your players and I say, yo perreo, they won't even know to say solo. I bet you.
Okay, and that's really a shame.
Scooby Goons, like, you see Moneyball, right?
So, I mean, look.
I mushed the physio out of the way. You no longer need it.
Everton in the Premier League, they just won 2-1 against Crystal Palace on a penalty. Obviously, it was a handball, and there was probably a handball that was not called on Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So I bring this up to talk about the next subject that we want to discuss, the handball rule in general, because in the Premier League, who obviously has the most eyeballs over on the world, by the world, that, and everybody's kind of you know, criticizing it and seeing it a lot more.
But also theirs is probably the rule is probably affected more matches in the Premier League than anywhere else, where it honestly feels like there's two penalties a match.
Yeah, look, so obviously the Tottenham game, this was a Newcastle, right? That was the goal that they got. Who was it? Callum Wilson that scored the penalty. But it was a handball call off of Eric Dier. It was Andy Carroll's in the air, heads the ball, you know, just in the box. Not really. It's not going on goal. He's just trying to get ahead on the ball. Eric Dier's reaching for it as well. Back turn to Andy Carroll, has his arm up. Ball hits his arm. Penalty. And this is like, what, the 90th minute, something like that? It was just like towards the end.
It's the end of the match.
It was like the 90th, I think, fifth minute.
That's how good Andy Carroll is with his head, bro.
He was aiming for it. He knew what he was doing.
He knew what was up.
He was like, I'm gonna hit this dude, and in a couple days he's gonna shit himself in the game. That's how badly I'm gonna hurt Eric Dier. Okay. So the hits a ball. And then everybody was saying, okay, so I'll say this. In my opinion, His arm was in it, technically, rather open, away from his body. I wouldn't say that it was in an unnatural position. I think it was in a natural position. He's jumping for the ball. He misses the ball entirely. I think he really didn't have a good sense of where the ball was. But in the jump, he kind of throws his arms up and it hits his arm. I mean, I don't know. My issue with it is, like, as the rules are written now, that is a handball. I understand that. But I think context is important in handball rules, because Andy Carroll...
But you understand that's where the issues begin. That's why they try their hardest to create these sort of, like, look, if it hits your hand, that's it. Sorry. Is because when you put in the, you know, when it's subjective to the person calling it, or is it objective? Whatever. When it's subject to not speculation, but like a judgment
interpretation.
Call.
Interpretation.
Or not even interpretation, a judgment call, right? When it's up to a judgment call, it's whoever it goes against is going to say, that person had it out for us. That person, that's not a handball, and you know it. So that kind of shit that used to drive everyone crazy, because then coaches wouldn't do it because they could get fined. But everyone else is like, yo, this is bullshit. Wasn't called in a different match. And, you know, it might have been a different situation. It might have been a different official. But to them, it looks exactly the same. And maybe there's a point. It's like the rule should be, if it hits your arm, it's automatic. But then just understand, players are going to be able to take advantage of that. Yeah, maybe Andy Carroll didn't mean to head it in your arm. But if someone put it in the chat before, I believe it was Buffalo Mike said, old heads remember when they had to change the rules so players couldn't just kick it right into the defender's arm. It's like, if you're, especially the way some of these less talented teams like to play, if you're a West Brom's actually doing pretty good. If you're a Burnley, maybe.
What's Burnley? What team is that? Burnley.
Burnley. I was thinking Barnsley and Burnley at the same time. If you're Burnley United.
Burnley and Barnsley, yeah.
Wow, what an all-star team. Yeah, so we have one player? One. If you're Burnley, right? Maybe you could someone put Burnley, Alexis's new team. Assholes.
Burnley till I die, bro.
Well, you ain't never heard of us? Damn, son, you ain't up on things.
Oh, I thought you knew soccer, bro. I guess you don't. Oh,
you must not be a fan. I can't hear you over the ring. Don't play it from the locker room.
Burnley's all Cuban. I don't know if you know that. It's a very interesting team.
Yeah, we ain't making it, but trust me, it's going to be a party. The point was that a shit team like Burnley could, now that we know it's full of, you know, expats, would just kick the ball up into the defender's arm when maybe it's one against three or something. And if that's, you know, if that's what's happening, you can't have that either, right? And that's why sometimes people, like, like, you know, what Giannis Pappas used to have a joke about this, where he would tell us, like, I could fix soccer right now, make the goals so much bigger so you score more goals. And I'm like, you don't understand. Every time there's even a slight change in a rule, players figure out a way to take advantage of that rule.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It throws off the game. You just have to keep things, everything the same, and just make slight adjustments. In fact, the Premier League already came out saying, all right, we're going to let you adjust. Like, we can't change the rule because you need, you have to have, the IFAB has to agree to it. But
yeah,
the Premier League will ask a select group of referees to apply more leniency in handball decisions. So this is what they said. This is from, quoting from the article in The Athletic. It's saying anything that hits a hand above the head in the box, for example, would still be a penalty. But a deflection off a hand by a player's side would be viewed differently. Proximity and arm position are the key factors in the change. For example, the penalties given against Joel Ward or Victor Lindelof this weekend might not have been spot kicks, but the handball decisions against Dyer or Neil Maupai, for example, would still stand. So the one we're talking about still would stand.
Yeah, I can understand the Dyer one. I wasn't upset with, even though Mourinho clearly was. He was just... He wanted to, as soon as the penalty was called, after it was reviewed, he was ready to go. He's like, I am done with this job, with this league, with
Mourinho
these refs.
Was like, I'm gonna go take a shit. I can't deal with this.
As soon as the ball went in for the penalty, he was already done. I ain't shaking hands with nobody, COVID or no COVID, not interested. But the yeah, Dyer's, I understood the body position, and people are commenting as well, saying that RCAB said it's not just the Premier League, it's a consistent rule now, and I am aware of that. I know that this is the rule now in every league, but it is, there's something. I don't know why it is happening so much more. It's much more controversial in the Premier League. And the calls themselves are becoming a little bit, they don't feel as consistent as even they do in MLS. MLS, I'm not saying it gets it right all the time, but you don't really, it's not this ridiculous. Oh, and we can mention,
the officials were told this year that they have to just call it like it is. If it hits the arm, it is what it is. So I think that's why you're seeing so much more of it, because they've been told they can't.
How about
adjust.
The Toronto? If people, I don't know how much you're watching NYCFC and Toronto FC matches, but NYCFC did play against Toronto FC, and there was a late penalty call on Nicolas Acevedo, Cacha Acevedo, where he is trying to get away from the ball, but can't. And his hand is like close to his body, but it hits his hand, but like really, like right here, like it's so close to his body. But
right, you got
to
river dance. You got to have your arms at your sides.
It's definitely harsher, and I think context is important. Dyer's, I understand. Acevedo's, I don't really understand. Leniency would be good there, and in the spirit of the game, you probably wouldn't want that call.
Not to talk about that, but the reason he got it called is because he went like this, and the hand was off his body when it hit.
Yes.
It wasn't up against his chest.
Of course. Yeah, I know. But it was close. You know what I mean?
It wasn't close because because of the only angle you could see it hit, it looked much more egregious than it actually was. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, for everyone who doesn't know, someone put Barnsley as opposed to Burnley. Burnley plays in the Canadian Premier League. So stop talking shit if you're listening to this. If you look at the way that the rules are, my fear is that it is, players could take advantage of it more than it's going to get the calls correct. If you go back to the way it was, the only people that are considered bad or evil are still the officials. And really, the game is better when that's the case. When you're blaming the official and you're not allowing the strikers and the defenders to take advantage of the rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like
because
this.
It's left up to their discretion.
I like this comment from Nick's Third Nipple. He said, it's more controversial in the EPL because it's a bunch of old soccer heads blowing stuff up because they don't like the evolution of football from when they were playing. That's a very, very good point.
It's like baseball. You know how like baseball heads are like, whoa, you can't. Someone said like baseball wanted to go to six innings, and they're like, no, because then the numbers aren't the same. You know what I mean? Then this pitcher getting this ERA isn't the same as it was in the 20s. It's like there were certain people that weren't allowed to play the game in the 20s, fam. Like, break it all apart. Keep the game alive. But, yeah, Robert Firmale said, hey, Christian, to me, these handball calls almost all happen near the end of the match, so it feels like the final action eliminates the first 80 minutes, which is true. But then how many times have you not seen a spot kick or, you know, some type of dead ball, which I know involves a lot more skill, but how many times have you not seen that completely negate the first 80 or 85 minutes of a match? That's kind of what you watch a boring match for, just in case something happens, no?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, it sucks. If you support the team, obviously it's the worst thing that could happen. I'm watching an NYCFC game and I see something like that, I'm furious. It happens to Mourinho, I'm like, yes, what is it? How is he going to respond? This post game is going to be so delicious. It's so much.
You want Mourinho to be a TV novela at all times, right? Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us. Technically you.
The Cooligans have now gotten into the mask game, okay,
right,
everybody?
We are big mask. That's the business we're in, baby.
Look, if you want to get, obviously, everybody, you need a mask. Wear a damn mask if you want to get over this dumb pandemic that is ruining all our lives. But we decided, you know what, let's make one, and I think it'll be kind of cool if it has the Cooligans logo on it. It also says stay safe and stay gully right on it. You'll be the freshest, gulliest mask wearer in the world.
Everybody at that Wegmans or wherever you go in, as they're dragging some maskless Karen out and you walk past them wearing this, will be like, whoa.
Yeah, you're just like, with your Cooligans mask, you're just going to be like, couldn't be me. Okay?
Nah, fam, I'm staying gully and safe. And here's the best part. 100% of the proceeds is going to go to charity. We are doing a collaboration with South Bronx United. They help the community in the South Bronx. They have a soccer academy. They do educational classes. They had a journalism class that Christian and I spoke at, and they were like, who are these two? They're not journalists. We know more than them. And I'm like, these kids say the darndest things. And also, they help out the community where they hand out masks. They do a lot of legal help for a community that could use all of those things. And we absolutely love all those things. We grew up in similar communities, so we wanted to give back. So 100% of the proceeds of this mask goes to that. And in fact, Upper 90, who is teamed up with us and is making the mask, actually gave us an even better deal so we could give even more to charity. So this would mean a lot to us if you would purchase this. Even if you didn't need an extra mask, it's worth having one, especially one that's as gully as this.
Exactly. So, you know, if you don't need one, give it to your child, okay?
Right.
They could use a nice gully mask while they're
distance
learning.
Put one on your puppy.
Okay? So pick one up. You can get them at soccercooligans.com. They are from Upper 90. They're a high-quality mask. They you can wear them for a long time. They're really comfortable. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't need one, all the proceeds do go to charity. So you'll be supporting a very good cause in South Bronx United. You can see the description. The link will be in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can just go right to soccercooligans.com and the link will be there as well. So pick up a mask today. So, and I want to give a shout out to Aaron West, who just him
had
and
his
wife
baby.
Yael Averbush, they just had a baby girl, Aria.
Abuela Gloria.
Aria, so shout out to them. But I love this a tweet that Aaron said, that he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but like, I just want all my friends to like succeed in life, but to fail their teams to fail miserably in sports. And that's kind of, yeah, with Mourinho, I'm like, I want his career to struggle and fail because it is so.
But
is,
while also
so
succeeding,
because
like, we don't want him to go away. We want him to be successful enough to stick around, but fail so much that it never really works out for him. Judd on the bench said, stocks rising on armless defenders. Dude, I mean, if you know of any, I'm gonna get him on fantasy, because
you know what reminds me
it
of
seems
this?
Like I have legless defenders in my fantasy.
I forgot
fantasy
her name on the Orlando Pride. The woman with she has her arm missing. She has like a forearm missing. But there's a great clip. Thank you. Was it Monkey3Y for the
I think that's just Monkey.
Okay. So obviously, when you subscribe to us on Twitch, you get access access to the Nutmeg Cam. And okay, I got
the lights are off.
The lights are off, but that Nutmeg is still sleeping. You can still see him right there, sleeping on the MLS All Star towel. Okay,
he does look like a piece of fried chicken. Yeah, you know? I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, I put him in the fryer. That's all. It is. So, I forgot her. So, who remembers
Carson Pickett?
Carson Pickett.
Yeah,
and there's a great. There's a great clip of her. She got a handball called on her, and she's holding her.
She's like, "How?"
She's like, "How?" And you can see she's like, "I don't have a hand."
Yeah, man's got no hands. So
it's one of the most surreal things in the world. Okay. So what was the other? There was another thing I wanted to. I wanted to bring
monkey
up.
Monkey waved at Nutmeg. That's hilarious.
I'll see if I'll turn on the light because it's a bit dark. I don't want to take away people's access to Nutmeg.
Of course, maybe
I should get some like night vision. Nutmeg.
A little night vision cam. Yeah, it's going. This whole Nutmeg cam is going too far. Let's talk about another manager. You know, Pep Guardiola is just not having a good run of it lately. And I think the reason for that is because people keep bringing up how much money he spent on defenders. So I looked it up, and it turns out it's just a little under $500 million in defenders. Man City is actually, after they sign Ruben Diaz, they will have bought 9 of the 20 most expensive defenders of all time, which is Ruben Diaz at £65 million pounds, João Cancelo at £59 million pounds, Laporte, who's injured and probably a big part of the slide over at Man City, $57 million, Mendy at $52 million, John Stones at £48 million pounds.
Everton legend, let's go. Yeah.
Kyle Walker, £47 million pounds. Nathan Aki, £41 million pounds. Mangala.
It's Ake, but
Ake. Mangala, £40 million pounds. Otamendi, £40 million pounds. That is insane. By the way, the most expensive of all time. Can you guess the most expensive defender of all time?
Was it Virgil van Dijk?
No, Virgil van Dijk was £75 million pounds. Mateus Delit. Over at Juventus match that we're a little beat that by a little bit by $77 million, but the most expensive is the captain of your Manchester United.
I'm seeing it in the chat already. I'll see
Harry Maguire.
Okay, it costs a lot of money to get someone as brave to fight Albanian cops.
Okay. And bribe them afterwards. Yo. Nixter Nipples said they need to send a defender at £69 million pounds. Hey.
Okay. Nice defending.
Hey. Look at that guy defending all over him.
I love Judd on the bench. Just he said, Nutmeg gets night vision. Alexis is still in 480p.
Okay. Fam, I'm telling you, Chris is spending more money on this damn dog than on the ability for me to be seen in high def. It's mad disrespectful.
But Manchester City did lose to Leicester City 5-2, and Jamie Hardy.
I'm
thinking of the Hardy Boys. The
I remember the reading those books. You know, I ain't read no damn books. Jamie Hardy actually is a starting striker for Burnley. So yeah, I don't know that.
That's right, and he helped solve crimes as well. He's a great Jamie Vardy with the hat trick.
Colo Blanco, but clipped. Thank you.
Nixon Nervous like Greek cops, but there was like there's a joke because he thought it was like Albanian. It was a whole thing anyway.
The Albanians were gonna kidnap his sister,
correct?
Yeah,
so Jamie Vardy, he scored 2 penalties, but did you see his the flick that he did on the goal that he got? Did you see that?
Of course, I mean, and by the way, I think he had 2 of those. He had a hat trick, but I think 2 of them were penalties. No,
2 of them were penalties. Yeah, but the cross, and then he got that flick. Did he meg the? No, he went over.
He went over him.
Ederson. Yeah. It was pretty impressive. Leicester, I think I don't remember if I have the table the. that we made before. I don't have it now, but we didn't put Leicester City very high up there. But it's still looking like they're doing pretty well. They're obviously, I think, at the top of the table.
I think the same issue for Leicester City is going to be the same thing that happened last year. Let's see what happens towards the end of the season, because it seems that's when Brendan Rodgers falls apart.
Very much so. Sitting at the top of the table. Is it a cause for concern for Manchester City to lose as badly as they did?
Considering they weren't even in that shot, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Pretty. Manchester City, at least, like they're not the most dominant defensive team, but they just offensively, they're just such a threat that most teams can't keep up. They have all the possession. They get a bunch of goals, and defense is not really the main focus, wasn't?
Yeah, but they need to fix that up, because you're never going to succeed. And in fact, this is crazy. I didn't know this. I read this stat somewhere on Twitter. I wish I had the tweet. But since Mikel Arteta moved on to become, because remember, he was the head coach of Arsenal first before he became manager, which happened in this offseason. When he became the head coach of Arsenal, he has won more matches, or he has lost less matches than Pep has at City since that time. So City has had it much worse. Was he the missing piece? Do you think he was part of that magic? It clearly wasn't Domi Torrent. He leaves. Mikel Arteta comes in. They still play fine.
Yeah.
What's happening there since Mikel Arteta left? Did he steal the mojo, you think?
I don't know. I mean, look,
we need Jamie Hardy to solve this problem.
We need Jamie Hardy on the case. They collapsed in Champions League. The Manchester City, it's hard to go against them on any given day. You just assume that they're going to win and win handily. So it was a bit of a shock for these five goals. But hopefully, like with the signing of Ruben Dias as a center back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Laporte coming back. Hopefully those things get resolved.
And people who think Pep is going to get fired, it's like, you don't. Unless he talks some wild shit to the owners, he's fine. He's clearly the guy for the job. And look, if at the end of the season they're still in 13th like they are today, yeah, all right, maybe there's a problem. But I think they're going to be just fine. Nick Sernipple said, according to Bleacher Report rankings podcast, Sam Teague, our homie Sam Teague,
it's top not six Teague, teams. By the way, I think it's Tig or something like that.
All right, Sam Teague to us. You're in America now. It's soccer and you're
Teague. But we hung out with Sam in Germany, remember?
Yeah, I could see it being it can't be Tig because it's
because I remember Daryl corrected you.
All right, well, apparently it didn't stick. Yeah. Sam Teague said, top six teams should focus on attacking and winning games night rather than right. Winning games night, I'm assuming that's night after night, rather than defense, which is, to me, very dumb. Clearly, you need to score a lot of goals, but if you can't stop the other team from scoring more goals than you scored, you ain't getting them points, bruh. You know? And they've got firepower. In fact, check this out. Raheem Sterling has scored 32 goals for Manchester City since the start of last season. That's the most of any Premier League player across all competitions in the same period. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. No, it's not that crazy. Raheem is very good. What is crazy is
for him to be the highest scoring across all players. That's wild.
Yeah, but for him to deal with the level of criticism when he is so successful is pretty. That's the crazy thing to me. That I don't understand. So the other match I wanted to talk about was Leeds against Sheffield United, because this match only had one goal from Patrick Bamford, but who assisted, baby?
Jackie boy
who
Harrison.
Who assisted, baby? Jack Harrison in the 88th minute was a great cross. And if you saw the goal, this is it feels a little bit like, one of those Babe Ruth, pointing that he's about to hit a home run. But Jack Harrison crosses the ball. And as soon as it's in the air, he knows it's just a great, great ball. And as soon as Patrick Bamford gets ahead on it, he does this. Arms up, celebrate. The ball has not entered the net.
No. In fact, he didn't move after he hit the cross. He just stood there and watched and just threw his hands up. It was really great.
Okay,
it's so cool to just see Jack Harrison just like enjoying his time, you know?
Yeah. Alcibiades said he scored two today plus an assist. Oh, that's great. In the Carabao Cup. I didn't see those results.
Was that Jack or is that Bamford?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm assuming it's Jack because this is, you know, this is the this show is all things focused on Jack Harrison and no one else.
Yeah, this is the premier, the Prem show. Prem being Jack Harrison being the premier player in the Premier League. No, Raheem Sterling is talking about. Look at that. Raheem Sterling is just a beast, dude. Yeah. That's incredible. We put this up, because Jack Harrison, and look in the...
In the Slack?
Yeah, in the Slack. Just two after the... you'll know which one I'm talking about right away. Jack Harrison's a good-looking dude, right? He's the kind of dude you look at and you're like, yo, I want this dude standing next to me in photos. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But somebody put this up, the most punchable faces in the Premier League. Okay, and they put up four. Do you see it?
I see it, yeah. I can put it up here as well.
Yeah, if you want to pull up the tweet. They picked four different people. The four they picked are, clearly this guy doesn't like Chelsea. Azpilicueta. He picked Jorginho, he picked Mopay, and he picked Bruno Fernandes. Mopay and Bruno Fernandes. I'm never going to say this guy's name right. So if you look at the photos, two and a half of them make sense. You got it up?
Yes.
Yeah, you could just put up the tweet. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Azpilicueta, Jorginho, Mopay, and Bruno Fernandes, right?
Here's the thing, right? Azpilicueta, definitely. Jorginho, I don't really know.
Wait,
right?
You think Azpilicueta has a punchable face?
100%. Like, instantly, the first person I would think of is probably Azpilicueta.
I do not agree. I think he has a charming, soft face.
No. You're thinking of Marcos Alonso.
No, I do.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of... who's the comedian that he looks exactly like? I can't think of him now. God damn it. Really good looking dude. Super smart.
Somebody added Miguel Almirón.
That's the first reply. He's like, yo, you forgot. But Miguel Almirón makes sense because he's always smiling.
No. Maybe, you know, maybe. Then I guess, you know what? I have a punchable face, okay?
Without a doubt.
All right. No. I'm going to have to fight back on this, but with my words, okay? Because I don't want my face punched.
You've proven us correct, right? Who is, like, in the chat, tell us, who do you think has the most punchable face? You clearly don't understand how punchable faces work, right? Because you would have changed yours by now. Who do you think is the most punchable person in the Premier League?
Most punchable?
You can't say managers because everyone's going to say Mourinho. Even Tottenham fans would say, Mourinho would say Mourinho.
Look, Nixon Nipples, come to my defense. He said, Nani Jr. doesn't have a punchable face. I'm assuming he's speaking about me. Okay?
Yo, you got a wild punchable face. And I love you, dude. I love you. But like, I know I may have to protect you from hands, random hands, time to time.
Oh, man, this is tough. Who is the most punchable face? I mean, like, not in the Premier League anymore, but like the people that come to mind, it's not as much the face as much as the personality, right? So like a Diego Costa has a punchable face.
See, Diego Costa doesn't have a punchable face because it's like he's like a mean face. A punchable face is someone that you would look at and be like, ugh, I just want to punch this guy.
Well, it sounds like you're saying you look for people who are soft and weak and gentle, and you're like,
no,
I want to hurt
like,
these people.
It's like a little douchey. And just just
is my face. Let me know if my face is douchey.
It's a little bit.
That's the last thing I think of when I think
you don't
of
get
my
the
face.
Douchey part. Yours is just smiling because you're just like you look like you're constantly having a good day, and that's the kind that's Miguel Almirón. That's
and a punchable problem. Yeah.
And Neymar. So Neymar would get the Shoryuken. Shoryuken.
From Street Fighter, yeah. Shoryuken, yeah.
Is that the Hadouken? Is that the Juan Mata or Wayne Rooney?
Hadouken.
See, I think Wayne Rooney.
We need to get this correct. It's Hadouken is the fireball.
Yeah.
The jumping fist is the Shoryuken.
Okay. I don't agree with that. Fellaini, I don't know. Juan Mata, yes.
Leftkin meme, thank you for the follow. Appreciate it. Very much
Thank you so much. What, Wayne Rooney? No, because he looks like he's already been punched. You need to punch someone who looks like they've never been punched. Joe Shelvey, great call. Robert from L.A. Joe Shelvey has a punchable head. He's got a full-on punchable head. It's not just face.
Just straight up, I'll punch him in the cranium.
Okay. Right? Yo, you get punched. You got dapped in the back of the head? What happened? I don't know. I was just walking down the street.
John on the bench said, Andy Carroll.
Yeah, he got a nice jawline, though.
I could see that a little bit.
Like Grealish, no, because he's like a lad. You know what I mean? Hey, monkey, thank you so much.
But, oh, look at that. Gifting a sub to Robert from L.A. Thank you for the support.
You know what that means? Somebody subs. Let's do it.
Let's go to Nutmeg Cam. It's getting even darker.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You know what? Should I turn on the light?
I think something wrong with this dog. Yo, he's sleeping too much.
He is chilling. Yeah, he's had a long day. Okay.
A good one said the flying kick is tacos al pastor. All right, now I'm interested in this game, you know?
Okay. Oh,
James,
you know what?
Sands has a punchable face? I don't think so, dude. You know who does? Mule. Whatever that kid's name was.
Oh, Alex Mule.
Alex Mule. He's got a punchable face. You get what I'm saying now? Jesus Medina kind of does, right? See?
Someone said Dele Alli.
Dele Alli, that's it. That's the most punchable face. You see what I mean? He looks like it's a little condescending. He looks like he's never really paying attention to what you're saying. He's thinking about like your mom naked or something. That's just the look on his face.
Okay. Yeah, that seems to Dele Alli, I get on even personality wise, there's just something a little annoying about
him. Yeah. Like it's grating to have him near you. A good one said Dele Alli with the stash or no stash. With the stash, he becomes even more punchable. Without the stash, still the number one most punchable face in all of Premier League.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, look, I'm glad.
And you know who agrees with me? Mourinho. You know?
I'm glad we get to the important subjects on the Prem show. Where? What other show? Okay. You're going to get this on Sky Sports? No. All right.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast and you can't be a part of the chat, shoot us a tweet. Who is the most punchable face in the Premier League? Let us know.
Okay.
Or if you're watching this clip on Instagram, comment down in this post.
I'm thinking, how about on Arsenal? Is there anybody who has the most punchable face on Arsenal?
It can't be Ozil. That's everyone's going to say Ozil, right? Because it can't be because he kind of already looks like he got punched, right? He got those weird deep-set eyes. He got the Steve Buscemi eyes.
Buscemi eyes.
Yeah. Good point. I want to say Giroud is the first name that comes up, but he's not even on the team anymore. And also, I would punch him, but then it would end up being a really slow punch with an open hand, and I would just caress his face.
I forgot his name, the dude who looks like Marlo Stanfield from The Wire.
Oh, is that Willick?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Willick.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, he don't look punchable because, yo, he looks like he'd be like, he caught a man down. It might be Bellerin, dude.
Bellerin? Oh, bro, are you serious? You're going to punch a
mile? I would never. I would never. In fact, if anything, I quickly jump in front of that hand. You know who it is? It's Tierney. Looks like a good
tucks in his jersey.
He looks like he looks like he asked for extra homework. You know what I mean? Or like he reminds the teacher they forgot to give you homework.
Okay, I can see that. On Everton.
It can't be Bernd Leno because he's like 6'2" and the widest shoulders. And also, you know he gonna block my slow ass punch.
On Everton, who is
Dude, ooh, it's Theo Walcott without even trying.
Oh yeah. Might be Theo Walcott.
It's
Theo
Walcott.
He just, to me, he looks so frail. It's a punch, you know.
Nah, Theo Walcott looks like he's giggling without telling you why, because he wants you to think it's an inside joke about you. You know what I mean? He wants you to think.
LCAB said Jordan Pickford. Pickford feels like the right one because not only is he has a punchable face, but he is regularly like at the pub. Punching, getting punched. He don't care. Yeah.
Pickford would love it. You want to go out late, mate?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the follow. I missed the name, but thank you for the follow. Whoever just followed us.
Does that give us, I think we're at 500.
Sleepy and Sad 18. Look at that. Okay. All right. Yeah. Look, this
is quarantine. Is that nutmeg? Did nutmeg?
Sleepy as F. Did you have an iPhone over there?
You being emo? Emo ass puppy? Tom Davies. Ooh.
That's a good one.
Is he, though? He looks like he's like, maybe the way he dresses makes him punchable.
Buffalo Mike said Tom Davies has a punchable name.
Just yeah, yeah. old two first names.
I could see that. I could see that. Dresses weird. He's like a.
That's what I'm saying. Like in his regular clothes, he might become more punchable.
You know. But I feel like you. He dressed like that. You're punching just him
riding a city bike in New York when everyone else is in
Ibiza.
You're
punching him. If you could fight over brunch, that's how you would punch Dom Davies. You know what 100%. I mean? It would not be in a normal fight setting.
Yeah. James Rodriguez, not punchable at all. Like, if I went to punch James Rodriguez, it would be with my lips on his lips.
Yeah. Well, this is how I fight. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I know.
He's getting beat up right now. Look at Alexis all over him.
Yeah. My, you know, some people are southpaws or whatever. My fighting style is a little unorthodox, but you know, it gets the job done.
I gotta be honest with you, it puts fear in most people's eyes. Buffalo Mike said this show's getting violent. Oh, I'm gonna wait till I punch him all over the neck, gently.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna punch him on his spot. You know,
you know what I mean.
Oh my goodness.
Nick said Alexis put the boner away.
Oh my goodness. So,
he's just a good looking dude, James.
He very much is, okay? Yes, and you know, he's a part of the undefeated Tofeteros. It's just incredible. I cannot believe Everton has not lost the game this season.
It's ridiculous.
Not at all. It's not even about being undefeated.
Leinster, but
drawn,
how does your wife
draw
when
points.
You puncher? Just, if now you gotta, please tell me this isn't the only part of the show you've listened to. You have to listen to the 30 seconds before I step back.
Yeah, context is important here because it looks really bad, right? Just,
Robert from LA said, this show's going to get flagged on all podcast platforms.
Oh, my goodness. Look, Nick Sernibble, I'm not even going to ask that question, okay? I just want you to know that we saw it and it's gone too far.
I respect you asking it, and I want you to know the answer is probably, but we will not repeat it on this show.
Okay, we do not need that. That being brought up on our criminal case.
You know,
that's coming up
on the James Rodriguez restraining order that he puts on us, as somebody suggested in the gully. In the Chattigans.
Glenn said that's where we draw the line. Look, we have to have the jokes have to stop at some point. All right,
No, they don't.
We have to start.
We gotta do Prem Show After Dark if you want to. You want to hear that talk?
Yeah, and Prem Show After Dark.
That's a wet ass puppy.
Oh boy. Okay.
Good God. You guys tuned in. Okay?
Is there anything else we need to discuss? I mean, I feel like that's the dismount. Is there anything left? Yeah, let us know if there's something you would like us to discuss. Judd on the bench. Cooligans is the 2020 antidote. That's right.
Thank you, man. We're trying, dude.
We're trying our best.
Absolutely,
yes.
Trying, especially after that shit show of a debate.
I feel like this is a little better than the debates, right? I mean, look, we have the split screen similarly, but it's,
We do talk over each other, but it's in an effort to get both of our jokes out
as opposed to supporting each other, okay?
100%.
If Trump and Biden were like tagging each of their bits, that'd be great.
That'd be better for democracy, I think.
Okay, we need some chemistry. We need Cooligans chemistry on there. Sassy Cheryl girl, with the sub, thank
Monkey.
You.
Monkey. Monkey gifted that to her. That's amazing.
Monkey, David from Tampa, and Monkey. Monkey is our doing the Lord's work right now. So
absolutely.
And Chad Benty as well.
Thank you so much. And also, I want to shout out Colo Blanco, who's the mod, the best mod, the gulliest mod. Also, let us know that during that me fighting James Rodriguez segment, we lost viewers. So,
look, it happens, all right? But you know what? We have to thank the real ones that stuck around.
Okay? Uh-huh, who completely know what we're talking about, and that's that we weren't kidding.
Okay? That this show is not a comedy show. It is a documentary.
Okay?
Right?
These are straight facts we spin. Us laughing is just because we're nervous about exposing ourselves. Yo, Perfect Tommy just gifted another sub to Aussie AB.
Y'all are the best. Nutmeg
God damn it.
So excited about it. Dreaming good dreams.
Ali Coop said they missed out then. Yo, you right.
Okay. Look, and
also,
we had
I feel like our numbers are back up, by the way. as soon as we started, they were like, is it over yet? You know, it's like a spoiler. Shut it off.
We had a goal for of 25 subs and 500 followers, and we already passed the sub goal. We got 27, so thank you. Yeah, we appreciate all the support.
I think we hit the sub number, the follow number, but it doesn't update on that.
No, it's at 494.
Is it accurate?
Yeah. So we need six more.
We have like three. You said we needed five to hit 500. We've had like three follows during the show.
I didn't say any number that we need. We needed eight at some point. I remember saying that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now we're almost there. Alexis, be patient. Okay.
I don't want to be patient.
We have to earn it. Okay. We have to come up with more innuendos and, you know, sexual things that we're going to do to other Premier League players that we will either seduce or punch. Okay?
Is this a challenge?
We have to earn it. Okay, we have to earn one follow at a time. All right.
Robert from LA wants to know my thoughts on tomorrow's Arsenal versus Liverpool, which if you're listening to this is today. I mean, we just lost to them 3-1. Not excited to play them again, but it's EFL Cup, which I think most Premier League teams are putting in like the U21s or playing a lot of the kids. So, you know, I'm not really that excited about it, but the part that strikes me as the oddest is, and I put this in the Slack, is that it is, let's see here. These are the players that are on Liverpool that have yet to see a loss at Anfield. Mm. Alisson Becker, Adrian, Virgil van Dijk, Andy Robertson, Fabinho, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Naby Keita, Shaqiri, Sadio Mane, Mohamed Salah, and Minamino. Dude, Sadio Mane has been on the team since, I think, 2016, 2015?
He's been there a minute.
And he has never witnessed a loss at home?
It's pretty wild. I mean, yeah, they're watching Everton play them several times, like, there's no shot at Anfield. I am stoked. I am stoke cityed for the match for this
use it correctly
Merseyside derby. I want to see how Everton look. They played well against Tottenham, but that was the first game. So you know who knows. But I really want to see what matches against Liverpool will look like. Today, speaking of Carabao Cup. The Everton, Richarlison did score, but he also got hurt. He twisted his ankle. He tried to come back and play, but he couldn't keep going. So hopefully it's not super serious, but he did like his ankle got caught under him and twisted like under his like ankle, like his body sort of fell on it. It didn't look great. So I was surprised that he was even walking.
A lot of that's like adrenaline sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And then Alan, he pulled a groin. So I know
who's a huge piece of that midfield now.
Yeah. So and it was like, you know, but this guy Gylfi Sigurdsson with James looked pretty good instead of
Don't do it. You're gonna fall on the Sigurdsson trap.
I'm not doing it. But I'm just saying that you know the substitution of instead of Andre Gomez, Gylfi Sigurdsson, I thought did pretty well in that position playing with James. So that's all I'm saying. I don't know. They won, I believe 4-1 or 4-1 today, which is again, it's kind of wild to see Everton play this well.
Yeah, I mean they are playing and they're very impressive. Nick Sir-Nipple said Lookman is back in the Premier League with Fulham on loan.
Yes, I did see that. Any other? Oh yeah, somebody mentioned Ross Barkley going loan to Aston Villa, which
shocked the hell out of me. I saw that today. I think
Okay.
Was that today or yesterday?
That was today. What? I saw it this morning. So pretty wild. So a bunch of moves.
And also it looks like Arsenal are close with Aouar.
Yes.
Supposedly the transfer is completed and will be completed on Friday, will be finalized on Friday, which means they'll announce it in 7 months, you know, so I can't wait.
They just lost to Liverpool, right?
Yeah, they lost 3-1.
They had some great chances. Obviously, Lacazette should put some of those away.
That should have been 3-3. If Lacazette put those two very easy, very clear chances away, which is what he gets paid for. You know what I mean?
How do you know what he gets paid for, Alexis?
Because I looked at his contract, yo.
So a lot to look forward to in the Prem. A bunch of fun games this weekend. Then I think there's an international break.
RCAB says there's a rumor that Dembele is going to be loaned to Man U. Here's the rumor, though. They didn't tell you which of the 38 Dembeles it is. You know, yeah. It could be anybody.
The Dembe lottery, okay?
they have a wheel. Spin again.
Glenster had to run. Thank you. Oh, no, not Glenster. Somebody said, Glenster said they had to go. Thank you for hanging out. Nixon also, thank you for hanging out as well. Shout out to a bunch of people in Gully Squad in the building as well. Feel free, if you'd like to join and to support Gully Squad, be a part of the Gully Squad Slack channel. That's an option as well. The link is right there. You get access to exclusive content. You can talk to us on Slack. You can ask questions to the guests on the TV show. It's a bunch of fun stuff. So feel free to join if you like. All right. Before we wrap up, there's also another thing I wanted to mention. I mentioned Daryl Grove of Total Soccer Show earlier, our dear friend. If you do not know...
Incredible human being.
Daryl Grove, you don't know Total Soccer Show, just literally one of the most popular soccer shows in the country. Just awesome... Run by two awesome dudes. Daryl Grove is one of the co-hosts, along with
Taylor
Rockwell.
They've been around for like
12 years. Yeah. Awesome human beings. We did a tour with them. Daryl Grove was diagnosed with cancer about 2 years ago and been fighting it. And with the amount of just courage and optimism that is, we're not even capable of. It's really, really incredible. Recently, if you listen to the Total Soccer Show, he had mentioned that he was doing a clinical study that was really great and really positive and helping him a lot and shrinking the tumors. And it was amazing news. But recently, we learned that that clinical trial is no longer working, and Daryl's currently looking for other options, and so he's doing everything he can there. But when it comes to his chemo treatment, he raised raised a ton of money on for his GoFundMe, but now his like insurance company is like not covering the chemo. It's like, I mean, this is just it's criminal what's going on. But we just wanted to mention that, and I wanted to put, if anybody wanted to help out and donate, feel free to do that. They're about 25,000 short of the goal, so that is the link is right there. If people are listening to this podcast, just you can Google search GoFundMe and Daryl Grove, and it'll pop right up. It the GoFundMe title is called Team Daryl Grove. So feel free to donate and support. Every penny helps. And again, Daryl is just a dear friend, an amazing human being.
He's like, even if you're not his friend, he is just an absolutely wonderful human being. So it's hard to put into words. Just like, he's the type of person that should be here for a very long time. So if you don't have any money, I completely get it. I know times are tough for a lot of people. Maybe just share it. Maybe share it on your social. Ask a friend you have that has a bigger social presence than you to share it. It absolutely needs as much amplification as possible because he's just a great human being.
Yeah, yeah. So feel free to do that. Yeah, like Daryl's done so much, not only for us, but just the American soccer community. And yeah, can't stress how Just great of a dude he is. So yeah, feel free to help out any way you can, with a share, with a donation. And like I said, literally, you want to give $2, that's totally fine. All right. So everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another Prem Show. We appreciate the time. Everybody listening to the podcast, again, if you're listening to this and want to be a part of the experience, right now it's been every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Twitch. We will be here, be a part of the show. Let us know what things you'd like us to talk about. Who else is, maybe what faces needs to be punched. It's really important to me that I share the disinformation that
or one of the special punches that we sometimes talk about,
okay. So Twitch, yeah, follow us on Twitch. Thank you for all the support. We're almost at 500, six away. Thank you for everyone who subscribed. twitch.tv/soccercoolians. Get on there, follow. There's a lot of fun stuff going on over there. Hopefully when the PS, maybe the PS5, Xbox Series X, maybe we do stuff there. FIFA 21. Let's get crazy.
Golo Blanco said to end on a lighter note, I got affiliate and a sub. Hey!
Hey, congratulations!
Golo Blanco,
yeah, doing the work on Twitch. So, feel free. If anybody does not follow Golo Blanco, make sure you do that. Okay. So that's it. Anything else, Alexis, that I missed? All right.
Let's end the show the way we like to, yo.
Okay, everybody. So thank you again for tuning in to another Prem Show. Make sure, if you're listening to this, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on iTunes.
Buy our masks. The money goes to South Bronx United.
Pick up a mask. Go to soccercooligans.com, and you can see the link to pick up a mask. I think there's like 30 left, so feel free to get those. All right, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!